my sarcastic tone. I'm a bit underwhelmed by the sample shown. Mr. Bistro fraternity guy, pick up a asshole, bloodshot eyes. Get drunk and fight every night. Idolize Bradley, belittle women's rights. Homophobic, racist, and don't give a fucking hey. Do you think you can drive a bigger truck? So wear your baseball cap to the side to let everyone know that you're a nice guy. So cool, we're so impressed. Lots of chicks and a barrel chest. Cause you're a real man. Punch for punch, gonna piss in your face while you're passed out drunk. I'm a nice guy, you're a nice guy. He's a nice guy, but all of you are assholes. I'm a nice guy, you're a nice guy. She's a nice guy, but all of you are assholes. Nice guys rule the planet. Why just can't understand it? But could divine by deception and lies. Social Darwinism and an overdose of pride. Fuck off, sure, fuck. I don't wanna hear it. Fuck off, sure, fuck. Read into the lyrics, cause everybody gets their just desserts. Long as you remember that nice guy's bitch. You're next on the list. Such a nice guy who speaks through his fist. Prick with a penchant for messing with heads. A broken nose for dinner and breakfast in bed. Alcoholic, paranoid, and suicidal too. But you'll probably kill her before she gets away from you. Swears in a pool of blood and cry. All your friends say that you're a nice guy. Have a drink, this one's on me. Look, you're doing fine, losing to your disease. Tomatoes, I'll pack your bags. Bury you with my cash, ready to go. You're a nice guy, we're all nice guys, but all of you are assholes. He's a nice guy, she's a nice guy, hey, Tom Bones a nice guy,
all of you are assholes.
Nice guys rule the planet, the fundament, how could a body by the structure and lies, social Darwinism and an overdose of pride.
Fuck off, jerk off,
I don't wanna hear it.
Fuck off, jerk off,
read into the lyrics, so let the fucking bill quench your thirst, as long as you remember that nice guy's fish.
Welcome podcast listeners and welcome live listeners and viewers, of course. This is The Plex. This show is live on Twitch every Sunday from 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific and beyond into red light. Sometimes that goes pretty late. If you're listening to the podcast and you're wondering, well, this is only about an hour. What's from 7 to 9 and beyond into red light? The first hour, something happens that you don't get on the podcast. And then after 9, something happens that you don't get on the podcast. So head on over to twitch.tv/EchoPlexMedia and you can join in the now space during the show. You can also catch the replay of the show the next day if you can't stay up late or whatever, if time zones don't allow. Patrons, $5 and above, also get the entire audio capture of the show if you want to listen to it, you know, via just the audio while you're going about your business during the course of the day. Sometimes the show is 7 fucking hours long, so you can listen almost an entire work shift. Anyway, I'm producer Dave. This is the part where my co-host would usually say to give the people what they want.
I don't hate the cops. There's a person inside when the truncheon stops. I don't hate the cops. When the raiders come, who will protect the shops? Don't hate the cops. They're a sensitive bunch. If you don't stop throwing your rocks, snap, crackle, pop is the sound of a taser. Your body drops. Don't hate the cops. Don't hate the cops, thank your local police, cause 'cause they don't do nothing wrong. That your local police got rid of the corruption and the racism is gone. They've been keeping the peace, keeping homeless folks out of the parks and malls. Got a cure for your social disease. Follow the law, don't hate the cops. 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 Follow the law, don't hate the cops.
Topping our news tonight on the podcast, Kid Rock put out a new song, and it is, well, it's fucking something, let me tell you. I wouldn't have been surprised if this would have been a parody of Kid Rock, but it is not a parody of Kid Rock. It's Kid Rock's new song.
Sideways, my way, or the highway. Listen up, ain't nothing changed here. I still don't give a fuck. So what the fuck's up with all the backlash? You snowflakes, here's a newsflash.
Ain't nobody gonna tell me how to live.
Years ago, we all thought it was a joke, see? That every kid got a motherfucking trophy. But yo, homie, here's a situation. A nation of pussies is our next generation. And these minions and their agendas, every opinion has a millennial offended. But this Amendment 1, it rings true. And if you don't dissent, bitch, to see number 2. Ain't nothing new, right church, wrong pew. Get a clue, accrue your fake news and views. Can all get the bottom of my motherfucking shoe. I'm the last of a few, still screaming, fuck you.
Ain't nobody gonna tell me how to live. Ain't nobody gonna tell me how to live. Oh, I'm gonna soar like an eagle.
What the fuck? Well, that's about as much as they were able to put up on Twitter, and I'm not going to go look up the whole thing. That was really stupid. this is just like a, like an edgelord from 2016 made a song, right? Like, a lot of what he's saying is kind of outdated. He's like, oh, the millennials are triggered. The youths. The fucking millennials are 40 now. Not the youths. And not every opinion is going to fucking piss somebody off. It's just like, if your opinion is stupid, it's going to piss people off, I guess. Even if your opinion isn't stupid, somebody's going to be mad about it, right? My opinion is not stupid, and people get mad at me on Twitter all the time. We usually start off the show with some Fox and Friends, but I figured we'd get that fucking Kid Rock shit out of the way. So here's Fox and Friends. They're going to trying to get in on a Jim Baker's grift. They're going to be hucking some buckets of slop.
Unexpectedly, we're going to show you the gadgets that you'll need to keep your family and your pets safe.
All right, so here for day two of our Always Be Prepared series, home improvement and lifestyle expert Skip Bedell. Skip, get us prepped.
Guys, we're back. You know, and food obviously is really important, especially for me because I like to eat. So supply chains, we've seen empty shelves in grocery stores maybe for the first time ever. This is ReadyWise Food. So they can emergency food supply buckets. They have 25-year
Okay, so like the store shelves being empty is bullshit. I don't know if where you live the store shelves are empty. There seems to be like a little bit of like a lack of a few items here and there, but that was like maybe I didn't even notice it before at the store. You ever go into the store to look for a product and they don't have it today? That happened before. And we're also lucky here in California. I'm going to just be straight up about that because like the, a lot of the produce for the country is grown here in California. And so like here in California, we're probably not going to have produce shortages.
Shelf life. So you can store these in your home. They have delicious food, really nutritious.
Delicious.
Free, organic. They have breakfast. They have dinner buckets.
You said the mac and cheese is really good.
Mac and cheese is amazing. Meat buckets with like protein. So what's great about this is really delicious food. All you have to do is add water. Wow. 25-year shelf life. And I got to tell you, my wife and I actually eat like we just sometimes eat it and it's so good. It's not only just for emergency. It's really good.
As somebody that doesn't cook, yeah. I would definitely do.
I have researched all the companies, and by far, this is actually is really good tasting food. So just add water. And speaking of adding water, you got to be able to cook. You got to be able to heat water, especially if there's no fresh running water, no electricity. So this is solar stove. They make an amazing fire pit, but same design. It has a double wall airflow 360, which pulls air in from the bottom. What this allows you to do is this very small unit you can take with you anywhere in the car. You can actually cook on this. All it needs is sticks, twigs, grass. It'll burn anything, and you can cook for a family of four with just this small setup. So solar stove comes great. It's all in a kit, you know, a bag to carry it in, and it folds into itself. So it's very easy
and compact
to use.
Again, you don't need an emergency. You could go camping with this. Yeah.
Camping, you can use it for, just use it in the backyard. It's fun to use. Wow. Yeah, it's just really great to cook on. Very easy. It burns anything.
Did this guy pay for that advertising slot, or did he just get free advertising from Fox and Friends? Listen. If somebody would have told me a few years ago that we would be watching Fox and Friends hucking buckets of slop, I probably would have believed them, but I would have been like, I don't know, I'm a little skeptical, maybe not, but nope, here they were fucking hucking buckets of slop. And it's the same shit that Jim Baker sells, right? It's like not different. They all sell the same shit. Alex Jones sells the same shit. And the supply chain issues are going to affect people's ability to get this stuff, maybe more than what the stores are experiencing, because the stores have relationships with sometimes local vendors. And so I don't know. I think the supply chain issues are going to hit this stuff too. It's all a grift, right? Because this is food that you buy to never use. And so it doesn't matter if it's good or not, because shit's fucked up, but the odds of society crumbling to the point where you need to use these buckets of slop still pretty slim. And so you're never, ever going to use it. So you've given these people money for something you're never going to use. in the event of societal collapse, a good relationship with your neighbors is worth more than any fucking bucket of slop. Let me tell you. Because if society collapses and your neighbors don't like you, they're just going to come take your buckets of slop. And now you're going to just not have buckets of slop. And your neighbors are going to eventually come back and be like, this macaroni and cheese sucks. Fuck you. You tried to poison me. we don't usually play a lot of commentary because this is a commentary channel, but I kind of like it when they fight. And so here's Jim Acosta from CNN going after Tucker Carlson in Fox News. It's 8 minutes. We probably won't watch the whole thing, but let's see what's up here.
It's that time of the year. The days are getting shorter. It's cold outside. It's also when we start looking back at the past year. And what a year it was.
Let's not do that.
On Fox, or as I've described it this year, the bullshit factory. Just in the last week. Just in the last week, they've been churning out so much BS, it's hard to keep up. Laura Ingraham did this bit where she pretended to not understand that Netflix has a show called You.
You know, I was watching
that's our next clip
of You, where measles came up.
Wait, when did I mention measles?
I don't know. It was on You.
Wait, What was on me? What are you talking about? Right? What is Raymond even hearing what I'm saying? I never had the measles.
What's on you?
We never did a. We never did a measles and vaccine episode. Am I? Is this a joke?
I know.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
It was on you. It was on you.
I've never had, Raymond, I've never had measles. What are you talking about? This is stupid.
It was an episode of a show, Laura.
What's it called?
You. What?
Ingram insisted this was all a scripted segment. The problem is, and how should I put this, we all thought it was real because it's Laura Ingram.
Well, that's your fucking, this Jim Acosta, the idea that we go to Laura Ingram for the real is your problem, actually. Also, good job. Thanks, Jim Acosta, for stealing my next segment. But no, we don't think the things on the Laura Ingram show are real.
That's why it's funny. You also had Jesse Waters suggesting that the recent concert tragedy in Houston had something to do with Satanism.
So the stage we're seeing right now, that looks to you like the gates of hell, the way that,
for fuck's sake,
they designed.
Jim Acosta's
that.
Trying to do my show.
It seemed like it wanted you to go to the other side. And so it did seem you're kind of going down, you know, Dante's Inferno, the various stages of hell. There's flames kind of in the front there, and you're kind of going deeper and deeper.
Oh, we're going deeper and deeper. Jesse, if you're looking for the gates of hell or Dante's Inferno, check out the studio just down the hallway and listen for the maniacal laugh. Be careful, though. The doorknob might be hot.
So the one thing we know for sure about Kamala Harris is we should all be very, very grateful to have her because she's historic for reasons that no one ever explains. But there's a lot we don't
know. No, it's not that nobody ever explains it. She's historic. She's the first black vice president. First woman vice president. Tucker.
About Kamala Harris. Most people probably don't know she really grew up in Canada. That's where she went to high school. She's not from this country in that sense. Well, she's certainly also from Canada. Okay, didn't know that. Doesn't mean she's not going to be a good vice president, but why haven't we heard that?
Yes, Tucker Carlson, your suggestion that Kamala Harris isn't quite American because she spent part of her childhood in Canada has put you over the top. We once honored you with the distinction of Bullshit Factory Employee of the Month, but now that 2021 is coming to an end, we decided to recognize you as our first ever Bullshit Factory Employee of the Year. That's right, Tucker. You've earned it. You've spent
this is a hack version of my show.
Theories about Bill Gates. You've served as a
this is a really bad version of my show. Jim Acosta, do better. Drink like half a bottle of vodka before you do this next time.
Conspiracy theory that Trump supporters were not responsible for the insurrection on January 6th, only to contradict yourself days later. And now your latest low light, you had a crew embedded with Kyle Rittenhouse during his trial. Yes, during his trial.
It's the stuff that keeps you up at night. Like, once you finally do get to sleep, your dreams are about what happened, and you're waking up in a dark, cold sweat.
Yeah. CNN's not sending their best.
What happened? Every single night.
I would stop watching if I was on CNN. I'd be like, Dave sold out, and I'd be like, fuck y'all.
And they're not the same at all. They're all different. They're the different scenarios that run through your head during the day, like what could have happened.
What makes this so shameful is that you were filming this latest piece of one-sided right-wing propaganda while Fox was slamming other media outlets for their coverage of the trial. Of course, projection and whataboutism are two key pillars of the Fox News bullshit factory. How else could the factory churn out lie after lie after lie? Which reminds me of something Tucker acknowledged earlier this year.
I mean, I lie. If I'm really cornered or something, I lie.
Oh, he was on Dumb Dumb Dave Rubin's show when this happened. He's in like the tiniest wooden room.
I really try not to. I try never to lie on TV. I don't like lying. I certainly do it, you know, out of weakness or whatever.
Or whatever. So congratulations. Enjoy the honor. This was a tough decision because we had to limit the award to current employees of Fox, not aspiring ones. Ted Cruz, he could have been a contender with his recent criticism of Big Bird and his accusation that Liz Cheney suffers from Trump derangement syndrome.
I look at the situation of Liz Cheney and I just think it's sad. I think she falls into the category of people who Donald Trump just broke. just shattered.
Senator,
no, she was bad before Donald Trump.
And Republicans and everything, and she's become a Democrat, and it's sad.
No, I'm a registered Democrat. Y'all can keep Liz Cheney.
Cheney's response was pointed.
I think that Trump broke Ted Cruz. Ted used to say he was a constitutional conservative, but now he is like so desperate for political approval that he will even advocate, suggest.
All right, that's enough of this. You can find this easily on YouTube, and you can also find it on the docket for the show. We post a link to that in the podcast show notes, and people who are watching live can just hit !docket. Anytime during the week, actually, you can kind of see this show getting built as it happens. It's the only show we actually build. Oh, down ballot, too. We don't publish that docket, though, because honestly, we make it 2 hours before the show. So they took our next clip. We were going to say that's probably a bit. We're going to skip that. We're not going to watch that twice. Here's Mo Brooks. He's I don't know what show he's going to be on here. I don't pre-watch this stuff, and I don't really make good show notes, honestly. It looks like he's on I don't know, one of them other networks, maybe OAN. He's going to say that the Build Back Better program is a plot by socialist Democrats to destroy the suburbs by moving inner city people into the nice neighborhoods by building affordable housing. I've never heard anyone say this ever before at all.
Is this a serious concern about their quest to transform the suburbs into inner cities?
Well, it is a continuation of the socialist march on America, keeping in mind that socialism is amoral, it is evil, it is dictatorial, and it is the elimination.
So he's for defunding the police?
And this is a part of the Democrat scheme to take over America using every single weapon that they have at their disposal. In this instance, you very well described what they're trying to do to urban.
Like, look at that neighborhood. What if there was an apartment? What if there was a fourplex there? Imagine the fucking shithole this neighborhood would turn into if there was a fourplex there. I don't know. I live in a dense fucking place, and where I live is nice.
In suburban areas across the United States of America, they are trying to destroy a lot of these nice neighborhoods that people have worked their whole lives to be able to live in.
I didn't work my whole life for there to be a fourplex down the street, honey. Fucking asshole.
Putting up high rises for public housing with all of the adverse effects that come with that public housing.
Nobody's building public housing. I wish they would.
Housing. And when they do that, they're going to be destroying neighborhoods. They're going to be hurting people who have worked so hard to earn the money to be able to afford those nice homes, those nice yards. It's going to depress those property values. And it's just a part of what they're doing across the United States of America in so many different ways.
Incorrect. At the end, incorrect. Density increases property value. Study after study after study shows that density increases property value, because with density comes more restaurants, more services, more businesses, more places to go out. Even if you're not like a youngster, if you live in a nice neighborhood and it gets a little more dense and a few more restaurants pop up and one of them is really good, your quality of life goes up, not down, up. So he's just wrong. If what he was saying was true, some of the densest places in this country are Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York. And those places are fucking expensive. And people who bought a single family house in Los Angeles in like the early 80s for under $100,000, even like just a regular ass house is worth $1.5 million now. I know inflation happens and whatnot, but that way exceeded the pace of inflation. So this is just incorrect. Density does not lower your property values, and most studies show that it increases the property value. And that neighborhood they showed, if a few fourplexes went up, or even like they're not talking high rises, that neighborhood they showed, they're not going to put a fucking 15-story apartment complex there. But what about a 3-story apartment complex there? And what if it kind of matched the way the rest of the neighborhood worked, and then people could rent and live? Now you just have a bunch of cool neighbors. Maybe you invite them to the barbecue and stop being a dick, Barbara. I don't know. I'm going to get mad tonight. There's a bunch of shit on here that's going to piss me off. Well, here, this is something you don't see in America very often. Somebody was talking at the house in the House, and they got booed by the people in the House of Representatives.
Madam Speaker, as a member voting hell no on this bill, and the member designated by Ms. Letlow of the state of Louisiana, I inform the House that Ms. Letlow will vote nay on H.R. 5376, aka Build Back Broke. And as the member designated by Mr. Loudermilk of the state, Madam Speaker, the House is not in order.
That's your fault, lady. Yo, when was the last time, like, that's like some fucking parliament and the UK shit where they're like, oi, oi, and they start booing and fucking, like, you know, hooting and hollering and shit. That's like full contact parliamentary politics, which I'm actually for. I feel like people should boo in the Senate and in the House of Representatives. And that lady should get booed. I don't know, the Build Back Better bill actually ended up getting some Republican support because they fucking took a lot of shit out of it. Kept the tax cuts for the rich, though. Make no mistake, ain't no class solidarity like that among the fucking upper middle class and above. Don't get that shit twisted. So here's AOC talking in the hearing. There was Paul Gosar. We didn't watch it because the video was like something. We just don't watch that stuff, right? We didn't listen to the video for the podcast listeners. Paul Gosar made a video basically where it showed him, cartoon and anime version of him, I think, killing AOC. And so here's AOC going to speak on the House floor about that video during the hearing to censure Paul Gosar.
I've been serving in this body just under 3 years. In that 3 years, enormous amount has happened. But in response to the Republican leader's remarks when he says that this action is unprecedented, what I believe is unprecedented is for a member of House leadership of either party to be unable to condemn incitement of violence against a member of this body. It is sad. It is a sad day in which a member who leads a political party in the United States of America cannot bring themselves to say that issuing a depiction of murdering a member of Congress is wrong, and instead decides to venture off into a tangent about gas prices and inflation. What is so hard? What is so hard about saying that this is wrong? This is not about me. This is not about Representative Gosar. But this is about what we are willing to accept.
Well, unfortunately, the other party is willing to accept the video. That's what we learned during those hearings, right? Like, I don't even know who I think it's Kevin McCarthy is the House Minority Leader. And yeah, he fucking just agrees with the video and thinks that that looks like a great idea, honestly. Like, I know what AOC is doing. She can't just come out there and say that, right? She's a member of the House of Representatives. There's decorum. And she's trying to play by the rules for the most part. She's subject to massive amounts of threats on her life. She probably doesn't talk about all of them because she's just like slightly left of most of the Democratic members and everybody thinks she's a fucking communist. So here's Lauren Boebert going to talk about the censure of Paul Gosar.
The speaker has designated the floor to discuss members' inappropriate actions, shall we? The Jihad Squad member from Minnesota has paid her husband, and not her brother husband, the other one, over $1 million in campaign funds. This member is allowed on the Foreign Affairs Committee while praising terrorists.
What?
A Democrat chairwoman incited further violence in the streets outside of a courthouse. And then the cherry on top. My colleague and 3-month presidential candidate from California, who is on the Intelligence Committee, slept with Feng Feng, a Chinese spy. Let me say that again. A member of Congress who receives classified briefings was sleeping with the enemy. This is unacceptable, and this would never be...
Gentlemen, his time's expired. Gentlemen from Florida.
This lady doesn't understand espionage. Of course, like, there are spies in China trying to sleep with members of the House of Representatives. That's what fucking spies do. There was an Austin Bennett movie called The Spy Who Shagged Me. Probably bad idea for Swalwell to have slept with that lady. But that's what a spy does. They lie to you. They do whatever they can to get information out of you. She called the squad the Jihad Squad. I think that the squad contains all of the Muslim representation in the House of Representatives at this time. So she's just saying that Muslims are fucking terrorists. She also talked about Ilhan Omar marrying her brother. And I think that's just false. I don't think she married her brother. Like, people don't just marry their brother. It turns out that's a thing most people don't fucking do. That lady's awful. She's awful. And somebody said she's a good looking lady. That's a shame that awful is that pretty, honestly. Here's Clay Higgins. Here's what he has to say.
Madam Speaker, America is being crushed under the oppressive weight of the Democrats' greed for lust and power.
Greed for lust?
They want totalitarian control over every aspect of American life, and they're ruling the people's house as if they were royalty. America is dissolving under our feet, and Democrats are worried about cartoons.
The cartoon was depicted a member of the House killing a member of the House, even if it was done in the style of anime, which we all know isn't real. It's disgusting. It's unbecoming of just it's unbecoming if I did a video of me killing my neighbor in anime style, right? And I'm nobody. I'm some guy who smokes weed and drinks and does a political stream on Twitch. And that would be unacceptable, right? If I did that about my neighbor. Y'all would be like, why did you do that? What is wrong with you? But these are members of the House of Representatives. Now here's Louis Gohmert. Surprised he can still string sentences together, honestly.
I looked at the video enemy and was trying to figure out. I couldn't see. I'm told if you stop it frame by frame, you can see what Democrat friends are talking about. I couldn't see it.
Wait, you don't have to stop it frame by. I watched it. We didn't run it on the show. There's just things we won't run. You don't have to stop it frame by frame to get the drift. That's incorrect.
The freeze frame, and I saw what I was told was supposed to be our colleague, Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez. I was insulted for her. If that's supposed to be her, that's really unfair. But
really unfair. Really unfair is an interesting way to frame that.
That's being talked about. We should not condone violence. But the reason it's so hard to sit here and listen to the condemnation from the other side, Madam Speaker, is because when there was violence against us,
when
there was no condemnation. My wife and I went to a speech at the White House, and I've yet to hear anybody condemn the attempted violence on us. We were chased for two blocks. Now, Ron Paul was on TV when he was chased because he had cameras and civil and Secret Service around him. We didn't have that.
Okay, so if regular-ass people chased him and his wife for two blocks, they shouldn't have done that. They should have fucking had a phone with a camera on and asked him important questions about policy matters, because that's what you do. If you get this guy somewhere, you ask him about policy matters. He doesn't understand the question, but you can still get him to say something stupid. Don't chase him. If he runs away, let him run away. Don't do it. It's not worth it. But also, these are just regular people doing this. This is different than a member of the House of Representatives doing that. So, like, his comparison, he was probably lying about what happened, or like exaggerating maybe, but also his comparison isn't apt because these weren't his colleagues. These were just regular ass people. And again, if you get Louis Gohmert or any of these people anywhere, you need to keep your cool. Don't chase them. Don't act in a threatening manner. Almost the same rules I tell you when we go to somebody's live stream and you go into their chat, right? Like, ask pointed questions, make jokes, make fun of them, but be non-threatening in every possible way, because then they don't have nothing. And you asked them a question they didn't like, and they got nothing. But again, I don't know that this happened the way that it did. And it's really important to understand that it's different when a member of the House of Representatives does and tries to incite violence or implies that they might do violence against another member of the House of Representatives. That's a different scenario than chasing an elected official down the street. In fact, Bill O'Reilly's crew used to just chase random people down the street if they wouldn't answer questions for the Bill O'Reilly show. So it's like, it's not like this is just a, it's not like, oh, it's mostly the Democrats that do this. Now everybody chases people down the street to ask them questions. Fucking investigative reporters have been doing that shit for years. That didn't mean they were going to beat you up or try to kill you or anything like that. It just meant they had to chase you down the street to ask questions. We watched that video of a BBC reporter chasing Tommy Davis down the street trying to ask him questions. That dude wasn't going to do nothing to Tommy Davis. So this is just like differences in kind and differences in extent. And here's Paul Gosar. I guess one of his staffers was recording him as he ran back to his chambers after this. This is just surreal, actually. You'll see what I mean if you haven't seen this clip yet.
Hey, folks, I'm Getter. This is Congressman Paul Gosar. I just got back from the floor where the Democrats have censored me for challenging their America Last agenda. They should know I won't be bullied, even if they challenge me and try to take away my America First agenda. It's great to be on a service that's not going to be censored. And you even like cartoons. I love that. I'm looking forward to having great discussions with you, so tune in next time. Till next time, thanks again.
Like, why did he do that? That was weird. He seems like unhinged and like very uncomfortable in that chair. Like, it was a bad PR move, but also that guy's like a fucking straight up white supremacist. Straight up. He like hangs out with the Nick Fuentes gang. Well, we're done with the Paul Gosar stuff, but we haven't actually left the House chambers in the House of Representatives yet. We're certainly not going to get to everything on this list here. So this is Representative John Kennedy. He's a Republican from Louisiana, and he's going to ask someone who, from what I looked into, fled the Soviet Union as a child, whether or not this person should be referred to as a professor or comrade. I think comrade's a perfectly, perfectly acceptable pronoun, though. Hey, what the fuck? Why is there an ad? No, the video won't play. We'll try this again. This is one of the problems of using Twitter for live.
I don't mean any disrespect. I don't know whether to call you professor or comrade.
Oh my goodness. Senator, I'm not a communist. I do not subscribe to that ideology. I could not choose where I was born. I do not remember joining any Facebook group that subscribes to that ideology. I would never knowingly join any such group. There is no record of me ever actually participating in any Marxist or communist discussions of any kind. My family suffered under the communist regime. I grew up without knowing half of my family. My grandmother herself escaped death twice under the Stalin regime. This is what's seared in my mind. That's who I am. I remember that history. I came to this country. I'm proud to be an American. And this is why I'm here today, Senator. I'm here today because I'm ready for public service.
So that didn't end there. There's more of this. He goes on to say,
Professor Omarova, I know that the giant banks object to your willingness to enforce the law to keep our system safe, and that you may cut into big bank profits. So they and their Republican buddies have declared war on you. The attacks on your nomination have been vicious and personal. We've just seen them. Sexism, racism, pages straight out of Joe McCarthy's 1950s Red Scare tactics. It is all there on full display. Welcome to Washington in 2021.
Damn, Liz. People didn't like her as she ran for president, but she's still an effective senator. And she ain't wrong there. There's one more. Here's John Kennedy went on fucking Fox to be like, actually, I don't regret saying that dumb shit that I just said.
Well, I just think, I mean, it's clear to me, based on our current records, that the current record that the president has nominated a neo-socialist. And I asked her a question yesterday, and during my time to ask her a question, given that she went to Moscow State University and studied scientific communism, I asked her if she'd ever been a member of the Communist Party. And
it's probably just Moscow University. I don't think they call it Moscow State. It's not like Michigan State University here in the United States, but whatever.
And it took me a couple of questions, but she finally said, yeah. And then...
Huh? No, she didn't.
Brown, my chairman, Senator Brown, went crack-brained on me and tried to stop me from asking questions, and I politely told him to shut up. And I just think the American people are entitled not to know that the president has nominated somebody to regulate our banks who believes, as she said, in getting rid of banks, and she used to be a member of the Communist Party.
Okay, so this is like really important. When she was a kid in the Soviet Union, I know there's communists in my chat, there might be communists in my audience. Communist regime was authoritarian, or the Soviet Union regime was authoritarian. You had no choice but to join the party. It was a one party state. So yeah, she was part of the Communist Party because you just didn't have much choice. She fled as a young person. She went to the university at Moscow because you got to go to university somewhere. And if you're in the Soviet Union, maybe you go to the one in Moscow. It's fucking disgusting. Liz Warren had that just right, that it was some Red Scare shit. And it's not lost on me that the woman appeared to be Chinese too, right? That's not lost on me. So we have a palate cleanser, which you should be glad for because I feel like we need it. This is a palate cleanser. It's about the Q Shaman and it's pretty fucking funny. I watched it twice earlier today.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'd like to address Your Honor, God, Mr. Jonathan Franzen, and the Ghost Riders in the sky. I am here to accept responsibility for my actions of being brainwashed by a brain that I was not totally in possession of on the morning of January 6th, when I should have taken a left turn at Albuquerque. I should be released. Why? My lawyer said I was incompetent and literally called me the R-word on TV. I object to that. Objection, Your Honor.
I'm going to tell my kids this is Jamiroquai.
From the woke mob.
I'm not going to have any kids, I'm lying.
Mob and regular is the only R-word here today. I should be released. Why? My lawyer said I was incompetent. Oh. I also object to the sobriquet QAnon Shaman. First, Q is not anonymous. Second, he is JFK Secretary of State Dean Rusk, who brainwashed my brain. Second, I am not a shaman, just a novice, because I haven't chosen my Patronus yet. I have come to love the haters and losers, and so I hereby therefore throw myself under the mercy of the double-decker bus of freedom and bison in the hopes I can go home where there is impossible burgers and Tinder. God bless.
Cyber sound as a stimulus to convex activities.
Fucking funny. We always have a funny palate cleanser. Usually we try to do it halfway through the show. I guess, like, whatever. It's 43 minutes into the show. Now that we've done a palate cleanser, everybody's favorite tiny dancer, Ben Shapiro. First of all, like, I want to give a shout out to Synth. They used to be a streamer. I don't know if they're still streaming. I know that I follow them and don't see them streaming. This is one of the first people we met here on Twitch, and Synth seems pretty fucking cool. When I was going like late at night drunk onto the panels or whatever, I'd always be happy to see Synth there. They were always really nice. So here's a friend of the show going to ask Ben Shapiro about the medical consensus around gender. Quality shit.
Gender is biological. This is something that's completely untrue within every single like medical consensus.
Well, then I will just say that anyone who suggests that gender has no reference whatsoever to biology, it's not connected in any way to biology, is just full of shit. Because if the reason I and the re And the reason that I say
then you actually just disagree with medical consensus.
Yes,
within the
I
Western
disagree.
Nation.
Yes, I disagree with the false medical consensus driven by politically driven, quote unquote, doctor.
Yeah. I don't know why it got cut off at 30 seconds, but yeah, he's like, oh, facts don't care about your feelings, but also I don't feel like I don't like trans people, so I'm gonna disagree with the medical consensus. He's like,
all the things are bad. There are no good things.
Or he's like,
sexually powerful women.
All right, our next one. Things are starting to get a little crazier as the docket grows longer. Here's a dork with flamethrower. Just dork with flamethrower equals liberal tears. It's from Right Wing Watch. A shout out to Right Wing Watch.
This is cool. I joke all the time. You don't need this, but you definitely... you want this. This is a flamethrower.
Why do I want that?
And tonight, I'm going to go...
Wait, people use those to start fires.
Video, you know, and you see, this is neat. And so tonight, I'm going to go make a video with this at my home whenever I leave here. So I'm at my office. My office is in Owosso. My home is in Owosso, so I'm not too far away. But I'm going to go with my flamethrower. I got a video that we're going to be making tonight. I'm pretty sure it's going to cause a lot of liberal tears. It's going to cause a lot of liberal tears. My flamethrower, they're not going to like what we're going to do with the flamethrower, but these are pretty cool. I'm going to jump off here. I got to go shoot a video with my flamethrower. And
what a dork.
Cry. God bless you guys.
What a dork. Like, I'm going to make the liberals upset. I'm going to do the flamethrower. The liberals hate the flamethrower. So here's the Q Shaman's lawyer, who seems like a giant piece of shit himself, all things considered. But he's going to talk some shit on Donald Trump, which I'm sure a lot of the Q Shaman's former followers are not going to like.
After spending this much time talking to David Stanley and learning about him, what do you think is appropriate accountability for former president?
What do I think about his what?
What is an appropriate accountability for former President Trump?
If you're asking my opinion... my opinion is meaningless. I will say that I would probably be far more effective over a beer with former President Trump, even if he didn't have a beer, because I understand he doesn't drink beer, but I'd have a beer. And I'd tell him, you know what? You got a few fucking things to do, including clearing this fucking mess up and taking care of a lot of the jackasses that you fucked up because of January 6th. Now, in the meantime, I might talk to him about some other things that I'd agree with him on. But my opinion doesn't mean shit.
You know what? Yeah, that guy's a piece of shit, but he's like an honest piece of shit, right? He's like, my opinion doesn't mean shit. He's like, I agree with Trump on some things, but he's got to clean this mess up. Trump can't clean this mess up. He fucking doesn't know how. It's like trying to be like, oh, you got to get the horses back in after we open the barn doors. Trump can't clean this mess up. The best thing Trump can do is to go the fuck away. Take your weird fucking kids with you too and free Barron. So we're going to move on to the Galaxy Brain Humidor. This is Brett Weinstein and Heather Hying. If you're not a regular around here, you might not know who they are. They used to be biology professors. Now they're talk show hosts. They do a show from a wooden room. And they're going to basically talk about, Brett's going to talk about how people who don't agree with him have been turned into NPCs. He's pretty edgy. You know, he's got memes and shit.
And the idea is that what we are seeing are people behaving under something akin to hypnosis, yeah. A kind of hypnosis that kicks in when these conditions attain.
Oh, he's a kitty.
And I must say, I don't feel that you and I are under this hypnosis. And I do feel that we are encountering a world full of people that is behaving almost as if they are sleepwalking on autopilot under some kind of hypnosis, mm-hmm. who are not, in many cases, acting according to their own character and values. And so this is very alarming. So anyway, yes, mass formation is well worth tracking. I don't know that it's 100% accurate as a model, but I will say, if you walk around thinking, am I dealing with hypnotized people? And is that why they're behaving this way? It seems to be more enlightening than it is confusing. So anyway, keep tracking it.
It's a version of the thing conspiracy theorists all say, right? If you've ever argued with a conspiracy theorist on the internet, which you probably have, They're like, oh, you're just a sheeple. If you were a free thinker, if you were thinking for yourself, you'd believe what I believe. So it's like a way in which they sort of pretend to be advocating for free thought, free inquiry. But in the end, they're just demanding compliance. And that's what Brett's doing here in his own like overly wordy, overly annoying way. And it's, you know, I would say I was disappointed, but like I was never like a fan of these people. I was never like, oh, Brett and Heather are geniuses. I knew what they were from the Trump. And I have some thoughts on that, too, that you'll hear on an intellectual Dollar Tree sometime soon, because I'm kind of mad at some academics right now who are a little late to the party. Anyway, in the same realm, we have dumb, dumb Dave Rubin. He is dumb. He blocked me because I probably called him, said some version. Oh, no, he blocked me when I told him that he married a dude named Dave so that he didn't have to remember another name. He was like, oh, I'm going to block this guy. He's on to me. So Rubin's going to call for Republican state national guards to push a little bit against the federal government, whatever that means.
I mean, you know my feelings about this. If the fine men and women who are in the Oklahoma National Guard do not want to get vaccinated, I have no problem with that. They are most likely young and healthy. I am sure there has been no massive outbreak with a crazy amount of deaths in the Oklahoma National Guard. The media would prefer you to think that everyone that isn't vaccinated automatically has COVID and is automatically killing people. That is just complete nonsense. So I love it when a group of people band together and say, hey, we are going to stand up for what we believe in. That's the
I mean, unless they're social justice warriors.
Only way we win this thing, right? Now, it sounds like the federal government is not happy about this, and they may punish Oklahoma in some way. But this is where I would say the red states primarily, but any state that wants to remain free as a state and be able to make choices for itself, and that's not really the blue states, unfortunately, any state that wants to remain free is going to have to figure out what does their National Guard do, and maybe it's going to have to be a little bit more than we thought. Like maybe Florida and Texas and Tennessee and Oklahoma, maybe some of these states are going to have to start having National Guards that are going to have to push against the federal government a little bit. I don't know exactly what that means. And I'm not saying these people should be shooting at each other. But at some point, the blue machine, the federal machine, is going to keep encroaching on the people who are trying to live free. So we need strong National Guards in all of these states. And I wish these guys a lot of luck.
So like he didn't say that he thinks that like they should just start a war or whatever. And I don't even think he believes that. I don't even think he's like fucking aware of what he's saying most of the time. But what, how do they push back? How does the National Guard of Texas or Florida push back against the federal government? Like, how do they do that? What are they supposed to do? Like, what on earth does he think they're going to do? Are they just going to say no and then get fired? Okay, then what do they do? Important to note, Dave Rubin lives in Los Angeles in the fucking belly of the beast. And you know where Dave Rubin ain't going? He ain't going nowhere. You know why? Because this is one of them motherfuckers who likes everything that the state of California, and particularly his Los Angeles, has to offer him as an individual. It's a nice place to live. Los Angeles is a great place to live if you got money. Dave Rubin got money. So he ain't going nowhere because he likes the restaurants. Mostly the restaurants, probably the restaurants and the nightlife. There's other things too. Good, reliable city services, that kind of stuff. So he ain't going nowhere. He's going to pretend that he's some kind of freedom fighter from his Los Angeles studio. Get the fuck out of here. Like literally, like leave California, Dave. He's not gonna. There's all kind of these people. They're in Silicon Valley too. They're like, oh, I fucking hate the liberal government. And it's like, here you are. You're in San Jose and like a $3.7 million house in like a safe neighborhood. When you get to go to like nice restaurants on the west side in Campbell and Los Gatos and Cupertino and Saratoga, you love everything about this fucking place. Anyway, Jordy Pete went on a talk show in the on the BBC and just be grateful we're not watching the whole thing during the post game because I considered it. We're just going to watch a clip of it right here. He's going to do exactly one of the five things that you would assume he was going to do.
Well, that's a fair point. I'll come to John.
I think the same point I made earlier applies, is that to leap, things need to be particularized rather than generalized as a general rule, let's say. And so,
wait a minute.
leap, things need to be particularized rather than generalized as a general rule, let's say.
And you've already contradicted yourself.
Cricket player was facing racism by his own count. The question is, who, when, what, exactly? Because otherwise it degenerates into something like a discussion of structural racism. And when it becomes abstracted up to that level, first of all, that pits group against group, which I think is entirely counterproductive. And it actually doesn't address the issue. You know, racism is a global and vague term.
Sorry.
Racism. Oh, no, Jordy Pete. Come on.
Why would you possibly do that? What did that mean?
Because I said it was a global and vague term.
No, the inverted commas is it's not a real thing.
No, that isn't what it meant.
Well, what did it mean then? Explain.
It meant that it's indicative of low-resolution thinking.
And what I mean by that
is we use all these terms frequently in discussions like this that are
He was repeatedly called abusive terms. He was repeatedly called abusive terms directly linked to his ethnicity.
By who?
By not just one, but repeated members of the Yorkshire Cricket Club.
He's had people contacted him.
If it walks like a duck, Jordan, it talks like a duck.
It's racism. I am not denying his experience.
Right.
What I asked was exactly who and when, and you just answered that question. So I would say those specific people should be held specifically to account for their actions before any movement up the abstraction hierarchy to a discussion of something like structural racism, which I don't think is helpful.
Well, he has talked about institutional racism in cricket. Mm-hmm. He says that's what he's experienced as a term, institutional racism.
Right, I know. And I believe that abstracting up the problem to that level of analysis does no good because it pits groups against groups. I think it exacerbates the problem. The concept of structural racism.
What the fuck did you see him?
Precise. It does.
Watch this guy.
Abstracting up the problem to that level of analysis does no good because it pits groups against groups. I think it exacerbates the problem. The concept of structural racism. It's too imprecise. It doesn't address the issue. Now, that does not mean racism does not exist. That is not I'm saying in the least.
Maybe let's do less of the hand movements and let's look at the evidence.
So, yeah.
So people listening on the podcast, you didn't see there's a dude with a shaved head while Jordan Peterson was fucking talking where he just had this, he just looked dumbfounded, like completely dumbfounded. Maybe he hadn't looked into Jordan Peterson very much before this, but the dude just looked fucking dumbfounded. And I mean, like, it's an understandable reaction to like that fucking word salad. He was basically saying that, oh, when we talk about racism, it has to be about the individual. And if we, he called it abstracting it out to the structures of society. When we do that, it just fucking, it's low resolution thinking or whatever. And I mean, that's fucking all fine and dandy, I guess. But what you're saying when you say that is you think that dumb people want to think about structures, that dumb people want to think about how different systems interact to advantage and disadvantage people. He was just basically saying that that's like what a dumb person thinks about. You know what a smart person thinks about? Is each individual bad thing that happened. And you look at it as if it happened in a vacuum. And that's how you have high resolution thinking. So just like think about that for a minute. That's like what he said. I know, like, that's not what I meant. No, that's what you meant. You fucking benzo addicted weirdo. I think you might be back on the fucking shit, honestly. Well. This is the part where I thank everybody for listening to the podcast version of the show. But if you got to the end of this podcast, that was pretty bad. It would've been a rough one. But maybe there's a bit of a silver lining in the world. And here's why. Milo Yiannopoulos has been reduced to hucking little statues. Cold cast poly resin. That means plastic. In bronze or silver, and that means paint. $87.50 for some shit you could get at the dollar store. So this is where Milo's at. So everybody, just take the small victories where we can get them and understand that there are ways in which sometimes society gets a little bit better.
So it's 11¾ inches tall. If you're thinking about how this is going to fit into your shrine or maybe even a bedside table. I know sometimes people like to wake up and say good morning to their favorite, you know, people and saints and whatnot. It's available in bronze and pewter, and they're both $87.50. We're not yet set up for two easy payments, despite our...
Not yet. We're not quite there.
But we're hoping to offer that one day, or two easy payments. But she's just under 12 inches tall. She's available in those two different, they call them accent finishes. We've got statues in the shop here that are fully painted.
Right.
And we'll see some of those later.
Yes.
But the thing I like about this is this wonderful burnished, bronzy, aged... color that she's got, and that wonderful, the face on this is especially good because
the face is wonderful. It's so peaceful.
I hope you know what I mean when I say there are good Marys and bad Marys. Of course, the real Mary, there's only good things about her, but there are some Marys where the faces that look unfortunate. They haven't put the work in to make sure that she's got just the right expression and features.
Right.
This, on the other hand, as you can see at home, it's just beautiful.
So again, every once in a while, everything works out as it's supposed to be. We never end this show on a positive note, but honestly, that was a positive note. The internet chewed up and spit out Milo Yiannopoulos, and now he's claiming to not be gay anymore, and I don't know, with that haircut, I fucking believe him. No gay man would rock that haircut. So again, sometimes things just work out. Sometimes the world does what it's supposed to do. It's unfortunate that this is on the high resolution thinking level of a one individual. And it would be nice if like the low resolution thinking version of this would start happening to people in power across different structures in our country. Again, that's a dumb thing to think about, but sometimes people get exactly what they deserved, and him being on some weird Christian shopping network, trying to huck some plastic figurine with a little bit of spray paint on it for $87.50. That's where Milo ends up. Notice it didn't say free shipping. It's where Milo deserves to be. So podcast listeners, thanks for checking this out. Make sure to follow us on Twitch at twitch.tv/Echoplex Media. If you would like to see the live show sometime, I would appreciate it if you'd come hang out during the live show. I don't know, maybe my mods will ban you. Give us money at patreon.com/Echoplex. You can go echoplexmedia.com/swag, find some t-shirts. There are all kind of things you can do, and you should do all of them. This is going to be Boomers by Periscope, and I'll be right back with Red Light. Live listeners, live viewers, hang tight.